Welcome to Entrepreneur Yet. For those of us, sometimes called side hustlers, trying to keep their head on straight while balancing building a business while holding down that 9-to-5. And I'm your host, Sasha Korobov. Hello and welcome to today's show. I love topics like these. Now, if you've been a listener for a while, you know that I'm all about free organic traffic to grow your audience. And that's why I'm so excited today to have Amelia Roberts on the show. She is a visibility expert and founder of Solutions by Amelia. Now, for her, what started as a desire to pay off her student loan debt from nursing school has turned into this really cool, successful venture into getting visibility for her gorgeous clients, which is like totally awesome, right? Now, lately, I've heard a lot of entrepreneurs in the sort of online business space say, let it be easy. And oh, doesn't it just bring you a little bit of soothing just hearing that? Let it be easy. And Amelia is here today to show you how your business growth, in fact, can be easy. So today we talk about why pitching isn't actually about you, which I know should feel obvious, but it's actually not for a lot of people when they really get in their heads about writing pitches. How to master the art of the follow-up once you've pitched without being pushy. Why a pitch is not an end-all be-all to getting exposure, I promise. When you should and shouldn't use an agency to pitch. Why your pitch is a non-starter without a specific type of research. You're really going to want to make sure you listen in on this. Why measurement is the key to having pitch success. The relationship hacks to keep your business audience growing, and why pitching without a broader strategy is counterproductive. Yeah, definitely going to want to take out your notebook for this one. So without further ado, let's sit back and listen to Amelia. Here it is. Hello and welcome to the show, Amelia.
Hey there. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, I'm really excited to have you on the show because free organic strategies, which include visibility, are just amazing resources for people wanting to grow their side hustle. And so I'm super happy to have you on the show. But before we dive into all of that amazingness, would just love for you to introduce yourself if people haven't heard from you before, and just who you are and who you serve.
Sure. So my name is Amelia. I own Solutions by Amelia, and I am a visibility strategist and a relationship facilitator. And what that means is people hire me so that they can get in front of more of the right people, more of the people who are already looking for their solutions without doing so much of the grunt work and without kissing so many frogs and wasting a lot of time on things that, you know, may or may not work, and just, you know, throwing stuff at the wall, seeing what sticks. They are tend to be busy people, and they just want to have more conversations with folks who already have audiences who are already interested in what they have to offer.
And that's so smart. So many people are just like on the hamster wheel trying to build their audience out of nothing, right? And really the fastest way to do that is to just put yourself in front of other established audiences.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So now, did you wake up on, you know, a sunny Wednesday morning and just say, okay, I'm a visibility expert now? Or is there a little bit of a story to how you became an expert?
Yes. So I have always loved getting important messages out there, just because of, I think, how I grew up. I was grew up involved in volunteer work, and we were very much about getting important messages out there. And so that was just always there. And then when I came to a point to have to pay off student loans from nursing school, I started my side hustle, and we ended up paying off those student loans in a couple years. But during that time, during the social media management, I realized that my client wins and contracts and their business grew as a result of the relationships that I helped facilitate versus a tweet that went viral versus a Facebook post. And so I realized that I had a special skill set in seeing matches. I like to call them business first dates. And so I started focusing more so on helping folks to get visible by way of having conversations versus distilling their amazingness down to a tweet, or even trying to condense everything that they do into a 3-minute TV spot. There's only but so much you can communicate during those short exposures versus a conversation via a podcast or webinar or going to somebody's group and teaching, mm-hmm. it's just an easier, better way to give someone else a more well-rounded view of what you have to offer.
Well, and I love that you said that, because a lot of people want to lean on their side hustle as a way of getting out of a job that they don't like. You know, they're not necessarily thinking about the business in, like, you know, business terms for business sake. And as a result, I feel like a lot of people just want results as quickly as possible. So they're like chasing all these shiny objects. They're chasing Facebook ads and Instagram ads and these expensive funnels and all of these things, where I have found in my own, I know you speak the truth, because I have found in my own experience that if you're nurturing relationships and you're working to get that bit of visibility, it might not be as fast, but it's creating a more sustainable business in the long run, because you're building those relationships. So what are some of the, like, top two or three things that your clients come to you with and say, oh, Amelia, I just need your help because I want, you know, X, Y, Z?
So, and looking back on my past few clients, they were people who were relatively, they had a solution that people wanted. So that's another thing. It's like, I don't work with just anyone. I work with people who have something that will definitely make a difference in someone else's life, because that just makes it easier for me to pitch them when I also believe in it. But in any case, so they had that, but they just didn't have time, right? Some of them, they have tried it before themselves. They've hired a virtual assistant and had various results. They're familiar with the concept. However, they lack time and they don't want pitching to be a full-time job because they have other things to do and they'd rather spend more time in their zone of genius. They also seem to have a desire to get out of the echo chamber that they're already in. They may be well-known in a part of their industry, but they want to bring in another audience, or they have relationships in one specific area, but they now want to. So an example, I have a client who was well-known in the veteran space, but she wanted to move beyond that, wanted to do more women's empowerment stuff. I have a gentleman who was well-known in e-commerce, and he wanted to get into the mommy groups and such. So, they're people who definitely have a reputation. However, they're looking for something new, but they don't want to have to build their audience from scratch. So actually, that was a roundabout way to ask you or to answer your question. They want to build their audience, but they don't want to do it from scratch.
Okay, so this is great. It sounds like you teach people how to do this in a way, but you actually act as the liaison for them in a lot of respects. So you will pitch on people's behalf.
Yes, I will write the pitch. I do have people who help me with some of the research. I tell, my subcontractors, what I'm looking for, and, they, get the whatnot. And then I send the pitch and then I will follow up, because the following up part is really the secret sauce. Everyone is so busy. And that's just with life, whether it's sales calls or pitches. We're all so busy. We get lots of stuff. And if you just follow up once or twice, that really says that you're not really, this isn't really serious. But, if you follow up a few times in a way that's, pleasantly persistent, of course, that's where you start to, get responses. But yeah, that's how I help people.
I would love to hear a little bit more about your expertise in this, because the follow-up freaks people out, right? Like, people feel like they're being pushy, or, they're being a pest. But if you pitch someone and you don't hear back within like 2 or 3 weeks, would you mind just sharing like a couple of reasons why that would be from the perspective of the person being pitched?
So why the person being pitched may not respond?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So many reasons. again, we're so busy, some inboxes are scary. This is number one. Inboxes are scary. It could have gotten lost. And I'll say that in the pitch, if I follow up, and first I follow up in probably maybe 3 to 4 days versus weeks. But I'll follow up and I'll say, hey, I just want to make sure this didn't get buried. Or, hey, I know you're busy. I respect that. I'll, you know, give them their respect. I'll let them know. I know that they're busy. I just want to make sure this didn't get buried. And just doing that, oh my goodness, the replies from that is amazing. But yeah, so oftentimes things do get buried. Second time, you know, sometimes the pitch can be, you know, for people who are new, it might be kind of long, and they may have, you know, it may have been interesting. They may have wanted to reply. They may have put it in a special place. But, you know, they might have other things on the radar, and they just really didn't have the time to read through the entire pitch. So, you know, that could also be a reason. You know, maybe if you start as you track, so one, any marketing effort that you do, you need to track it so you know if it's working or not. And if you notice that you are consistently not getting responses, just take a look at the pitch. You know, is it, you know, is it relevant to their audience? Is it too long? You know, if it's too long, you might want to shorten it up and see what happens with that. So, so yeah, it might have gotten buried too. Maybe it was too long. And then of course, you know, maybe, you know, they're set for the year. A lot of podcasters batch. So, you know, depending on when you send it, they could just, you know, have their content needs filled, and you might want to say that. It was like, you know, hey, you know, I don't know if you're accepting pitches right now, or I don't know if your queue is already filled, but blah, blah, blah.
There are two really important things that you mentioned that I want to just like sort of pull out and dig at if I can. One is length of pitch. Now, if I were to, you know, be the other side of myself when I was first side hustling and when I was sort of newer to this, I would say, but Amelia, the person that I'm pitching to needs to know how awesome I am and needs to know the extent to which I'm just an expert. And of course, the more that I say, the more they'll get how awesome I am. What would you say to that person?
So, and I say this full of love to this person who says that, with a heart full of love, I come to you and say that it is not about you or how awesome you are. And so that could be the first turn off, you know, when people talk about, I have this book and I am this, and there's like lots of I words in the email, people's eyes will glaze over. Yeah. So that's, yeah, that's the first thing. But then, you know, to... when you are short and brief, it's respectful. It's you telling them that I know you don't have all day long to read all about me. I know that you're a busy person. Yes, yes. I know that you're a busy person who cares about themselves and their audience. So when you come to them with, you know, and also a pitch can just be, can you look at it as a start to a conversation. You don't have to look at it as a end all and be all.
Why is that so important? Yes. Tell us more.
So, so like any opportunity that you're pitching for, it starts with a conversation. Sometimes all can be hammered out in one single email, but sometimes, of the first pitch or the first outreach is like, hey, you know what? I see you. I see what you're doing to help people. That's awesome. I also noticed that your people have this specific need, and this is how I can help you with that. You know, could that serve your audience? But that is a beginning of a conversation.
That is so incredibly important. And I just did a training on this, so this is front of mind for me. It's not about the host, and it's not about you as the person pitching. It is about being able to know their audience enough that you can find the gap and fill it and come to them in a position of service instead of asking for something.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, that does take time. That's why, you know, people hire me, because they may have tried like a PR agency before, and some PR agencies are known for sending pitches out in volume versus quality. You know, they just throw out a bunch of stuff. It's all templated. It all says the same thing. And they just hope that something hits. And usually it is a person who's desperate enough that will say yes. And then, you know, you get on the show, but you know, it may not be, you know, everything that you thought it would should be, but in any case, so long story short, yeah, sending that personalized, you know, looking for the gap, like how you said that, looking for the gap, and then filling it, you know, specifically with how you can specifically serve in a way that doesn't, you know, make the host guess and try to figure out why you could be a fit. Don't put the burden of work on them that way. Again, they're busy. But yeah, it just does take a little bit of time. It does take some research. And for people who have their own businesses and who are doing other things, this is extremely valuable, but there's other things that they really should be doing with their time.
That's super important. On episode 23 of this show, I did like a do's and don'ts of pitching, right? And one of the things that came up, in fact, was using an agency or not. And one of the things that I explained is that I have accepted pitches from agencies, but I can also smell a mile away when it's like a drag and drop template, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be on X show because X, like, and my person is X. So is that cool? I'm like, no, that's not cool. I don't like this pitch. So regardless of whether or not you decide to go with an expert like you, or go it alone, it's a matter of getting that research done and making sure that it is tailored specifically is what I'm hearing.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, so it really, yeah. So co-sign on everything you said. So yeah, it doesn't matter who does the research. just don't go in it to it blind. And yeah, that's nothing else to add.
Yep. The second thing that I wanted to touch on that you said earlier was the importance of tracking. Would you be willing to share a little bit more about even how to go about it and why it's so important?
The general thing about, you know, you can't change what you don't measure, whatever gets measured gets done, and all of those things about measuring and tracking, various things, is true in this case as well. So you know, some people have said, oh, I tried pitching myself on podcasts, but it didn't work. And, you know, I invite people to pull that back a little bit. Let's see, you know, what about it didn't work. And I'm the same with, like, you know, funnels or emails. You know, your open rates are not great or whatnot. Let's take a look at your email open rates. Let's see which ones got a lot of responses, and then let's do more of that. And the same again with pitches. If you're sending, you know, if you notice that you're sending out, you know, 20 and you're not hearing anything back, you know, there's a problem there. Yeah. Everyone's conversion rates or response rates are different. I don't have a standard at this time. Or I don't know of like an industry standard. If you do, let me know. But I would say you should hear something like 1 out of 3. You should hear something. That's the minimum. That's what I've seen. So, but if you don't know like how many that you sent out, then, you know, we're all sort of just trying stuff.
And really, when you look at it, people shouldn't be discouraged. 1 out of 3 is actually pretty high. Mm. Like, if you're talking about email lists and how generally, you know, the industry averages like 1 to 3 people on your list will ever actually buy something, you know, 1 out of 3, you know, hearing back from 1 out of 3 people, I would say those are actually pretty good odds and something you should really double down on more.
Yeah. And, you know, again, because how we'll go about it is like, these aren't just, you know, like three. These aren't just three like random people. We're pitching them specifically because of a reason, not just because they're female entrepreneurs.
There it is. Specific kind of expertise and audiences versus just trying to go by demographics, right? Like, yes. Well, let me just pitch to moms and people who talk about being moms. Like, but what about them?
Yeah. And this is just, again, you know, for those of us who are also working, you know, a 9-to-5, you know, what efforts that we put into our marketing, or not what efforts, the efforts that we put into our marketing, they really need to count. We don't, you know, obviously we don't have, you know, 40 hours a week to spend on this. So the time that we do have for our marketing, we just really need to make it very intentional, very specific, and very targeted, because we do only may have like, you know, 15 or 30 minutes a day. We can't just be using those 30 minutes, you know, hanging out in Facebook groups and, you know, answering questions and hoping that people will notice us.
Oh, being on the hamster wheel.
Yes.
Yes. And as somebody who is a serial course purchaser in recovery, okay. It has been my own experience that actually, if you just get consistent with something that works like this free organic traffic, it's just going to work for you much faster, because getting in these courses and stuff like that is almost like a way to hide from yourself and hide from taking action.
I love that.
Yeah. And so I love that you're talking about this and everything that it can bring, because it's free. Those relationships that you're building along the way are not like a one-off thing. You can continue to leverage those in the future. Have you seen those relationships sort of continue to bear fruit and yield good things with the people that you help?
Absolutely. One sprint I did with a client, he wanted to, actually his was like a little broader. He wasn't just wanting to meet with podcasters. He was open to talking with influencers. And then, so out of that sprint, because he was open to just having almost like blind dates set up, he just wanted lots of them. He was able to find, and he was able to be interviewed, and he also found affiliate partners, and he also found JV partners, and he also found, you know, people who were, you know, wanting to sell his audience to their audience. So, yeah, he was able to see lots of things that, you know, lasted further beyond just that sprint that we did. And I'm sorry, same for another client who wanted to be known in the women's coaching industry beyond her work with veterans. She got in touch with people who had locally based communities and established in the audience, and she was able to be brought in and, you know, develop relationships with them as a community leader, as an influencer themselves. And out of that, they, you know, they thought of her again, you know, once that session was over, once that interaction was over, different needs came up. Oh yes, so-and-so can speak on this. They've talked on this before. Let me bring up their name. So yeah, absolutely.
Oh yes. And all from an initial touch point, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's the analogy, for lack of a better one, that I think of is like, you don't plant an apple seed in the ground and then come back in 5 minutes and wonder why it's not a tree yet. Like,
yes, yes.
These things like grow, but then they bear fruit.
They do. They do. There is a phrase out there that says that with marketing, especially like marketing like this, or just marketing in general, because we talk about the importance, anyone who's, you know, has a 9-to-5 and they're looking into the side hustle world, they've come across this phase, know, like, and trust. And know, like, and trust, it depends, you know, how long does it take for people to know, like, and trust you? Generally speaking, in life, like, do you make friends easily? That could be an indication of how it could be for you in business. And, you know, with podcasting, it's just an easier, or, you know, pitching yourself, it's just a way to start that. But it happens, as you mentioned, at the pace of relationships, you know. So when can I see, you know, results from all of this? At the pace of relationships. It depends on what you're doing to nurture the relationship, right? Too, you know, like, sure. After, you know, your call to action, is it to join your email list? You know, is there, once they join your email list, will they hear from you again? And I, myself, I'm telling you what you should do, not what I do. but yes, I have to be transparent with that. But it's like, you know, do you have a path to continue to nurture them down? A point to make a more of a committed relationship with you. Mm-hmm. Or do you have plans to follow up with a host ever and just to check in, and, or do you have plans to, you know, share the episode and you know, it's really about, you know, what do you do to nurture this conversation, this opportunity at the pace of relationships once you have, that, you know, once your podcast has gone live.
I think you just touched on something really important, which is whatever you're doing needs to fit into a broader strategy, because otherwise, like you said earlier, yeah, you're just chucking stuff at a wall and see what's going to stick. But if you don't like have a goal in mind and then like reverse engineer it to try to figure out the path to get there and then work that plan, you might be just setting yourself up for another disappointment or something that doesn't, you know, really work well for you. And there's nothing wrong with things not working. It's how we learn, but at least you wouldn't be doing it randomly.
Yes.
So would you be willing to speak to, the ways in which using this like visibility strategy, like what can that do for you in the long term? What are some things that people should be shooting for in the long term when they're talking about using visibility as part of their strategy?
So with people who have a 9-to-5 and they have a side hustle, we are used to doing our work in private. We're used to coming into our day job and doing a task and leaving. And maybe somebody might think we're a good team player and great communicator. And then that's that. However, you know, when you decide to start your own business, side hustle or not, but it's a business, you need people to be aware of the problems that you solve. So a long-term goal, I feel, should be you setting the buying criteria for whatever it is that you do. And that looks like you becoming a thought leader, you becoming the go-to person. You, when somebody is in a Facebook group saying somebody has a need and it's the problem that you solve, them tagging you and saying, oh, you need to talk to so-and-so. It looks like referrals. So yeah, so for long-term goals, it really does look like you setting the buying criteria for whatever problems it is that you solve. And it's not, and that's like not necessarily like, and that's constantly evolving and changing and, you know, switching. But yeah, so that would be my answer to that.
Can we just talk about something amazing for a moment? If you are incorporating the visibility strategies that you're mentioning, something you just said is really key. And I'm sorry, there's going to be a little bit of a lead up to this. Okay. When you're doing funnels or Facebook ads or all of this stuff, what is the strategy? You're looking to build enough people to eventually tell them about, you know, what you do in your services, ask for, you know, for lack of a better goal, the sale, right? Ask for the sale and then be grateful for whatever you can catch out of the batch. Visibility, which you just touched on, is different because you set it up so that people come to you. There's no like mass selling or marketing involved. You're becoming a thought leader, you're becoming a subject matter expert, and you have a little more success with people seeking you out instead of you just trying to build this big group and hope that you can build a business based on some people becoming your customers.
Yeah. So visibility, podcasts, pitching, JV collaborations on webinars, teaching in Facebook groups and masterminds. It's inbound marketing strategy in a way where you're, you know, putting your content out there, your knowledge and expertise, and you're giving people an opportunity to come inbound to you. But of course it's also outbound because you are reaching out to these mastermind hosts, these podcast hosts, these Facebook hosts, and you're communicating your value to them. So yeah, it's a mix of outbound and inbound as well.
Yeah. One of the things I love about it is that if you are to do stuff like paid funnels, you're going to have to keep doing that. You know, as long as you want to keep bringing people in, you have to keep doing that. But with the visibility expert, with the visibility work that I've done, I find that you have to plant those seeds in the beginning, but it's not like you weekly have to keep doing it, keep hustling, keep getting everything out there. So I have really loved the work that I've been doing with the visibility stuff. And I'm glad that you're here to talk about the difference it can make in your business for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely an easier way to, like you said, you don't have to keep pumping stuff out there at the same pace that you have to do with Facebook ads. With Facebook ads, there's lots of checking and tweaking and moving stuff around and, you know, new content, new images, new, you know, it's like, it's, but with podcasts, it's there. And, you know, years from now, people can come across it, you know, years from now, if people have a question that, you know, they're trying to struggle with something and they're like, I wonder if there's like a podcast that talks about it, and they, you know, put it in and they search like, oh yeah, there's someone who talks about this specific thing and it can be you, you know, that's happened to me. That's happened to you. You know, we're learning stuff and that can be your podcast that they saw or the time that you were interviewed on this specific topic, which is why it's so important to pitch specific topics and problems, but they can find that 2 to 3 years from now. So it's great. And yeah, it's an evergreen thing that's out there. And yep, you don't have to you don't have to worry about, you know, the algorithms and all this stuff, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's almost like YouTube in a way. You know, it's there, it will be there. It's a resource for people who are looking for it. And those folks who, again, are looking for the solutions that you offer, those are the best, can be the best leads. Yeah.
Definitely. And it's either very inexpensive or free for you to be doing it. I mean, it's just like, I don't understand why more people don't go to it first, if I'm honest, but you know, people are people. So in terms of your own business, you mentioned that you've seen some evolution because you started out, first of all, how long have you been in business? I forgot to ask.
Officially first client, 4 years.
4 years. Congratulations. Yeah. Yeah. And what are some of the things that you've tried and some of the evolution you've seen in your own business, if you don't mind sharing?
I definitely have seen the, I like how you said consistency is like really, really important, because I too have been that one trying all those things. I'm buying all of those courses, and I think I have every single freebie known to man in my computer. So I have them all, but definitely that person versus like now, like there are like a few people that I listen to. Right. It's like I used to listen, and that's natural, because when you have a 9-to-5 and you're learning about the online space or the entrepreneurial world, you have lots to learn. You have lots to learn about marketing. You have lots to learn about various aspects of the business. And everyone who knows more than you seems like an expert. Right. But guess what? Guess what? Everybody really does. So any case, so I was like following like all these people who seem to know more than me. And again, I went to school for not marketing or sales. Yeah. Long story short, so now it's me. There's like a few people that over the past 4 years that I really have seen, you know, stand out. I've seen the results they've gotten for themselves, for their clients. And so I'm not following as many. And, you know, I'm also getting clear on my own values, right? So like more recently, there's lots of people who are coming out that I'm able to see that they're just not aligned with my values and what's important to me. And so it's been super easy to just unsubscribe. Really. So I just have been, I guess, more refined in who I'm paying attention to in terms of mentors and experts and coaches.
I'm so relieved to hear you say that, because actually the fewer people that you follow, I find the more clarity you have. And it's not until you really start to get serious with yourself and serious in your business that you realize you don't actually need to mimic someone else's business to be successful. You just need to be the best version of yourself and how you show up in the business.
Agree.
Yeah. And so with everything that you know now, I'm curious, if you were to go back to Amelia 4 years ago, who was thinking of starting up this side hustle and breaking into the visibility and PR, and you started, you know, sort of in the social media realm, with everything that you know now, what advice would you go back and give yourself?
This comes right, speaking of coaches, this comes right from my coach, Jamika Tankerson, a sales coach, an amazing sales coach. It would be two things that she says that would help pass that along. One, trust yourself. And two, it can be easy. And when I first started out, I didn't trust myself. I felt like I needed to have all these permission slips and all these courses and certifications before I can go out and start helping people with the thing that I was already helping folks with. I needed other people to sign off on it. Two, I felt as though it had to be hard. It had to be difficult. It had to be strenuous. And the idea that it could be easy was just not a thing in my head.
Would you be willing to, the listeners can't see me, I'm like violently nodding my head.
Yes, you are.
Would you be willing to share a little more about how it can be easy? I think that's really important, because there's so much of like hustle culture that looms in the online space, right? Would you be willing to talk about how it can be easy?
You know, I know we're wrapping up, and this could be an entire conversation. So I feel like we have it in our head that in order to be highly paid and highly valued, we need to show somebody how we can move the world for them, how we can move the mountain for them. And that's not actually the case. They will pay us a lot of money and highly value us if we can get them to where they need to be quicker, faster, and easier. And because we should be working in our zone of genius, it may not take us moving mountains to do that for them.
I love that. I love that so much. And I think you're right. It's been my experience that that's right. And I've seen it in others who I adore, who are successful. So thank you so much for sharing that. Now, I really think that the visibility work is so fast and simple and important. And if everyone wants to come and follow you and learn more about how you position this work with your clients and you know what you contribute to the visibility world, how can they find you? How can they follow you?
Sure. So they can follow me. They can connect with me on LinkedIn. Actually, I would love for them to connect with me on LinkedIn because that's actually the platform that I'm trying to focus on right now. Talking about staying consistent and not being everywhere. That's where I'm definitely collecting relationships right now. So Amelia J. Roberts, relationship facilitator, connect with me over on LinkedIn. However, I do also have Instagram at @RN_solutions, Twitter and Instagram at @RN_solutions. So, but yeah, let's connect over on LinkedIn. And of course my website, talks about, the solutions or the problems that I solve, www.solutionsbyamelia.com. And I also want to give your audience a freebie called How to Get in Front of Anyone. So I'll give you a link to that and you can share it wherever you guys share stuff.
Everybody, you need to run and grab How to Get in Front of Everyone because it doesn't have to be hard. And especially if you're starting from zero, starting from scratch, just fast track it and get in front of someone else's audience instead of trying to build your own right from zero. So,
yep, it can be easy.
Yes. So run and grab that. And thank you, Amelia, so much for coming on the show. I've been wanting to do a show like this for a while, and I appreciate your expertise and your willingness to come chat today.
Awesome. Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
I don't know about you, but I got a lot of reassurance speaking with Amelia. This really can be a simple process to get visibility for your business, even if we overcomplicate it and get really stuck into like a weird or doubtful or negative mindset about it. And listening to her today sort of reassured me that actually it can be fine. So focus bit by bit on one little pitch at a time to build your castle of business greatness, shall we? Thanks so much, Amelia, for coming on the show. I think perhaps I am off now to go send some delicious pitches with everything I've learned. Let's see what happens. I hope you will do the same now that you are more armed to get your process going. But for now, that's all the time we have. Never forget that you are awesome and so is your business. We will catch you next week for our 30th episode. What? Yeah, 30. Okay, until then, get your party hats and we'll meet you back here. Take care.